Happy New Year, and welcome back to America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th anniversary edition. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
We are continuing our massive project to profile every member of Congress for the nation's 250th anniversary. Today, we are heading to the Windy City, Chicago, to profile a man who is practically an institution in Illinois politics, Democrat Representative Jesus Chuy Garcia.
Chuy really is a household name in Chicago. He represents Illinois' 4th District, but his story goes back decades before he ever stepped foot in the U.S. Capitol. He was born in Durango, Mexico, and his family moved to the U.S. in the mid-1960s, settling on the southwest side of Chicago. His father worked in the packing houses and on the railroads, so Chuy grew up in a very working-class, immigrant environment that has completely defined his political worldview.
To understand Chuy Garcia, you really have to understand the history of Chicago politics in the 1980s. He wasn't just an observer. He was a key player in a revolution.
Absolutely. This is the Harold Washington era. For those who don't know, Harold Washington was elected as Chicago's first black mayor in 1983, breaking the back of the old political machine. Chuy Garcia was a young community organizer at the time, and he was part of the multiracial coalition, Black and Latino voters working together, that got Washington elected. In 1986, Chuy was elected alderman of the 22nd Ward. This was a huge deal because his vote in the city council helped Mayor Washington finally get control over the city legislature, ending what was known as the quote, council wars. So, Chuy's political DNA is rooted in that specific moment of outsider progressive reform.
He moved up the ladder after that state senate, county commissioner, but he really exploded onto the national scene in 2015. Tell us about the mayoral run against Rahm Emanuel.
That was a David versus Goliath moment. Rahm Emanuel was the incumbent mayor, extremely well-funded, and famous nationally as President Obama's former chief of staff. Nobody thought he could be touched. But Chuy Garcia jumped into the race as the progressive challenger. He didn't have the money Rahm had, but he had the unions, the teachers, and the neighborhoods. And shockingly, he forced Rahm into a runoff election. It was the first time a sitting Chicago mayor had ever been forced into a runoff. Chuy ultimately lost that race, but getting 44% of the vote against a political titan proved that the progressive wing of the party was rising. It really set the stage for his election to Congress in 2018.
Before we look at his work in Washington, D.C., we have to talk about his district. Illinois' 4th District is famous among political map nerds. They call it the earmuffs.
It is one of the most distinct shapes on any map in the country. If you look at it, it literally looks like a pair of earmuffs. You have a big chunk of territory on the north side of Chicago, and another big chunk on the southwest side, and they are connected by a tiny, thin strip of land that mostly follows Interstate 294. It looks crazy, but there is actually a very important civil rights reason for it.
Right. This isn't just random gerrymandering. It was created by a court order, wasn't it?
Exactly. In the early 90s, the courts ordered Illinois to create a Hispanic majority district to ensure Latino voters had representation under the Voting Rights Act. The problem is, Chicago's Latino community is geographically split. You have the Puerto Rican community, which is largely on the north side, in neighborhoods like Humboldt Park and Logan Square. Then you have the Mexican-American community, which is largely on the southwest side, in neighborhoods like Pilsen and Little Village. There is a lot of non-Hispanic territory in between them. So, to unite those two communities into one district, mapmakers had to draw that earmuff shape to connect them without diluting their vote. It's about 66% Hispanic, making it the premier Latino voice in the Midwest.
So you have these two vibrant, distinct cultural hubs connected by a highway. What are the big economic drivers there?
It's a very working-class, industrial district. You have a lot of manufacturing and logistics, especially near Midway Airport and the huge rail yards on the southwest side. But you also have massive gentrification battles going on, particularly in Pilsen and Logan Square. Longtime residents are being priced out, which is a huge issue for Chuy. These neighborhoods are culturally rich. Pilsen is famous for its murals and art scene, but the residents are fighting to afford to stay there. That struggle for affordable housing is the number one issue he hears about when he's back home.
In Congress, he sits on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Given the district's layout and industries, that seems like a strategic choice.
It's critical. Chicago is the rail hub of the nation, and his district is right in the middle of it. He focuses heavily on rail safety, making sure those freight trains moving through neighborhoods aren't endangering residents. But his biggest passion is public transit. He is a diehard defender of the CTA, Chicago's bus and train system, and Metra. He co-founded the Future of Transportation Caucus to push for what he calls transit equity. His argument is that we spend too much money building highways for suburban commuters and not enough on reliable buses for the essential workers in Little Village who need to get to their jobs at 4 a.m.
And obviously, representing an immigrant-majority district, immigration reform is central to his platform.
It's personal for him. Remember, he is an immigrant himself. He is consistently one of the loudest voices in the House, calling for a pathway to citizenship and for keeping families together. He was a fierce critic of aggressive deportation policies and has introduced legislation to protect essential workers who are undocumented. For Chuy Garcia, immigration isn't a theoretical policy debate. It's about his neighbors, his friends, and the people he has represented for 40 years. He brings that neighborhood perspective into every committee hearing.
He really bridges the gap between the old-school Chicago grassroots organizing and modern congressional policy.
He does. He's a progressive elder statesman now. He's not the young insurgent anymore. He's the veteran who mentored the new generation. But he still fights with that same activist energy he had back in 1983.
That is our profile for today. Thank you for listening to America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th anniversary edition. You can find show notes, including that wild map of the 4th District, on our website. Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com, and remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.